went and made a new dinosaur?
Probably not a good idea.
Hello and welcome to episode 70 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, so this week we are going to talk about the new Hunger Games trailer, Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, and then we're going to jump into our big review of the week, which is of Jurassic World. So, Angie, you got the trailer first.
Okay, yes. The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. Quite a mouthful. So the new trailer, the first trailer for the last movie in the franchise came out this week, and I was saying to you guys before the show, I think it's a really good trailer. It's exciting. There's like moments that are sad and, you know, well, not moments that are funny, but there are moments that are more uplifting and whatnot. The only thing is we essentially saw the first half of this movie last year, so it doesn't really have the element of surprise. What did you guys think?
I liked it. I think it's a stunning trailer. I think that's probably what caught me, not really off guard, but kind of wowed me more so than anything, is some of the visuals, like the shot, like the opening shot of the wedding and that other shot where it's President Snow sitting around that table. Those things say to me, like, I want to pause this and, like, stare at it for a little while. So I really liked that. But, you know, as someone who read the book, I kind of knew what was coming, so I think that does obviously take away the element of surprise a little bit, but it's a pleasure to be back in that world, so I do kind of like that the trailer feels exactly like where we left off, and it's not like, we're going to try to wow you by doing this now instead.
Also, it doesn't look like every other trailer we're getting right now. We've talked about this before, where a lot of the trailers have the same look, and like, The Hunger Games looks different. The Hunger Games does their own thing, and like, they have this very sharp color contrast that they do, and like when Katniss walks out and her like Mockingjay regalia, like that's an exciting moment. And then they give you a shot of Gwendolyn Christie, which I'm obsessed with her, so like that's a new character. And it's just a little flash, just a little like, what else, I'm here. And like then they have some shots I'm not going to give away, but they give you some shots of people who read the book are going, oh, I know what that means. And so I like it. It's teasing out little things that I think are really smart to tease out, and honestly just being like, here comes fall, guys. Like, it, you know, screw you, summer movies.
Seriously. I still can't believe, that's crazy to me that we're already jumping into, like, focusing on all the fall movies. Because that's the point that we're at. You know, the summer movies are coming out, which mean their promotional campaigns are over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is the last film of the franchise, at least until Lionsgate figures out a way that they can extend it even more.
More times.
Oh, I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like if it failed with Twilight, it's not going to work here either. But then again, they're doing it with Harry Potter, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
What do you think of this franchise as we head into the last installment? Do you think it's going to be good? Do you think it's been good so far? What are your expectations for this last movie?
I feel like the movies have gotten progressively better, and I really liked what they did with the last one. I thought that they had a hard thing to do because the third book, I think we can all agree, the third book is kind of a mess. It feels really rushed. There's a lot of stuff for those who haven't read the third book where Katniss gets knocked out and then wakes up and people tell her things.
The third book is basically packed with brilliant ideas, but there's like no structure to it whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's
like
just
a mishmash of stuff.
It's a lot of telling and not showing.
The third book also kind of, it's so different from the first two books, and I feel like it doesn't really take the time that it needs to get you used to this new environment and set up the new storyline. So even though in general terms I hate it when they do that thing where they split the last book into two pieces, I actually thought it really worked here.
Me too.
I really enjoyed Mockingjay. It did feel a little bit incomplete to me, but you know, I thought there was enough of an arc that it worked more or less as a standalone movie.
It felt incomplete in a way that it needed to feel incomplete so that the two movies could work together. But I didn't walk away from Mockingjay feeling like I need more, in a sense that like this movie feels like it's lacking because it cut off where it did. I felt very satisfied with the movie that I got, but yeah, it left with a really effective cliffhanger that made me really look forward to this last one. I'm really sad that it's over because like I check that Time Hop app all the time, and you know, I get things from like 5-6 years ago that it's like, you covered, you know, the acquisition of the rights to the book this day. Remember when we were talking about when Haley Steinfeld could have been Katniss? Like, it's just, it's so weird that it's over. It makes me like a little sad.
And I mean, just think about the impact this series has already had on movies and like culture at large, like not just in encouraging studios to take a chance on female fronted action movies, but also in that like Katniss and her revolution in the film has inspired actual political revolution overseas. Like, that's incredible. And yeah, I think the fourth movie is going to be great because I feel like they've built enough of a world and these people are really invested, and I think it's going to be outstanding. I think it's going to be the best one yet.
I'd like to hope so. I think it will. I think they got progressively better in ways, but the second one is still my favorite.
I think that they got progressively better because I think that each one, I think they actually did a good job of having each movie kind of build on the world that the last one set up. So the world just kept getting richer and more complicated and more layered and more interesting. But yeah, I guess overall it sounds like we're just all looking forward to The Hunger Games. Yay!
I can't wait, yeah.
Now into a movie we were super looking forward to this summer.
I think you like kind of just teased it. We were super looking forward to it.
I'm working on my segues.
We're getting there. We're getting there. It helps when you pose like that, too. Now we feel complete. We can move on. All right. So the big review of the week, Jurassic World. Here is the synopsis. 22 years after the events of Jurassic Park, Isla Nublar now features a fully functioning dinosaur theme park, Jurassic World, as originally envisioned by John Hammond. After 10 years of operation and visitor rates declining in order to fulfill a corporate mandate, a new attraction is created to re-spark visitors' interest, which backfires horribly. That was like, it was doing okay.
It's accurate, but like you just basically need to be like, following after Jurassic Park, they made another park and shit goes bad.
Well, they also kind of made, unless this is in the press note somewhere, but they kind of made up after 10 years of operation and visitor rates declined. Like, why specifically after 10 years?
Well, also, I didn't think the film ever said how long the park had been open, and I didn't get the impression they had declining rates. I thought it was just about the fact that their overhead is just so high that they need more people.
I'm pretty sure at some point somebody says it's been 20 years and interest in
dinosaurs. It's been 20 years since Jurassic Park. They do say that because she's like, they make a there's like a joke about that, but they don't talk about how long this park has been open. I don't think, not that it matters.
Yeah, I guess it really doesn't matter, but I think they specifically, like, maybe not in a clear-cut sentence that would say, like, these are the facts, but at one point it was said, I think, that 20 years and people are just not interested anymore.
But they said 20 years in reference to when the last park existed.
All right.
Let's move on to talk about the actual
movie. Yeah, I've been waiting for this movie for a very long time. I've said it on this podcast quite a few times before that Jurassic Park is my favorite movie of all time. And I know that we got Lost World and Jurassic Park 3, but obviously those movies are crap. But there's something a lot more special about this one because of the whole idea that after 20, 22 years, we are finally getting to see a fully operational version of John Hammond's original dream. And that to me was like absolutely mind-blowing. Last week on Friday, they had aired Jurassic Park on TV, and the point of that was so that at the end, they could give a nice tease of Jurassic World. And seeing Jurassic Park and then a snippet of Jurassic World play back to back, it was like chilling. It's like I watched for 3 hours, commercials, but like the whole park, like it was beautiful and exciting, and then it got destroyed. And then all of a sudden, it's like cut to, like, this is what it really was supposed to be, and it's really moving. And I found that stuff in the movie very moving. They use some familiar score, too, and I think the combination of that and, like, the big park reveals work really well, where as a huge fan of the original, I was, like, flipping out to see these things in action. But then there's all, you know, the added storylines and, well, I have a lot to say about that, but I'll let someone pick where to start.
My problem with this movie is, first and foremost, that it never stands on its own legs. Like, they introduce you to the Chris Pratt character and the Bryce Dallas Howard character and the two annoying kids characters, and then there's some characters over here. And there's tons of characters, but they never actually take the time to develop them. So instead of actually caring about these characters, the movie keeps going, hey, remember that time in Jurassic Park when this happened? And there's
the callbacks were mostly pretty cute.
Of them were a little heavy-handed. A lot of them I really did appreciate, like, even really simple things, like at a point, you know, a blood droplet falls, and it, like, falls in someone's
there's
arm.
There's little
like,
ones that I thought are fine. Like,
well,
like,
the problematic one, which drives me off my mind still, just thinking about it, is when Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard are talking about, like, you know, manning up and going into the park and saving the kids. And he's like, why are you dressed like that? And she's like, well, I'll get jungle ready. And she takes her like, super fancy, like, God knows how
office
expensive button-down shirt, and she ties it up like Ellie has in Jurassic Park. And she's like, well, look at me now. And he's like, what does that do? And that was, like, what I was thinking, too, but in a bad way.
I took more issue with the fact that they actually repeat full-on beats from the first movie to the point where, like, the finale felt like such a rehash of the first movie that I just got annoyed.
Well, the finale... All right, we're going to have a spoiler section because I want to elaborate on the finale and why I liked that.
I feel like they could have made a movie in its own right about this new park and the new problems a park like this would have. But, like, it starts off, like, I kept having a problem with suspension of disbelief where, like, 2 minutes in, they're like, people are just bored of dinosaurs nowadays. I was like, I don't believe that. And then I keep going, and then, like,
I don't really believe that, actually.
I mean, I kind of do, and I kind of don't. Because, like, when you think about something like Disney World, it's like, what kid isn't still wowed by Disney World today? But at the same time, you know, they release new attractions every 3 years. So it does make sense that they want a bigger, better, cooler, scarier ride dinosaur.
Bigger and better, I understand, but they're like, more teeth, more whatever. I'm like, why? Like, what world? Like, after what happened in the first movie that you keep acknowledging, why would you decide to make a super killer dinosaur? It doesn't make any sense. And then they bring in the whole military plot that we won't get into just yet. But there are so many things in this movie that ask you to make these huge leaps in logic. And, like, it's not Spielberg anymore. Like, Colin Trevorrow tries his damnedest, I bet. But, like, he doesn't have the showmanship of the maker of Jaws and Jurassic Park. So when they make these leaps, I'm not going, I don't care if that makes sense, I'm having fun. I'm just going, wait, what are you doing? Like, I wasn't on board.
It's funny because, you know, like, in the movie, as you pointed out, they say, like, oh, everyone's just bored by dinosaurs. You have to have more and bigger and better. And it's, like, the movie kind of talking about itself, obviously, saying, like, if you know, we can't just be Jurassic Park. We have to go bigger and better because it's Jurassic World. But that actually, I'm not saying that there's no way to go bigger with Jurassic Park and make it work, but I don't think Jurassic World is it, because Jurassic World kind of just felt like they were like, okay guys, we need to like top Jurassic Park, so let's just add more of everything. There's more dino action, more spectacle, more plot lines. Everyone inexplicably has like one or two extra subplots that they don't need, like every character does.
Well, I think a lot of that comes down to the military plot, which we'll get into after. I think, well, that just complicated
military plot. Thing, like, you didn't need that.
I think the divorce thing.
Like,
but
parents are getting divorced, and I was like, oh, okay, where is this going? It's not going fucking anywhere. They put that in there for no reason. It has nothing to do with anything.
Well, the like, military kind of plot also kind of, like, bled out into Jurassic Park management, where it's like, who really knew what was going on? Who's double-crossing who? And, like, none of that even mattered in the end.
No.
But going back to Jurassic World kind of rehashing things and Jurassic Park and the idea of not being wowed by dinosaurs anymore, there was actually, like, I think a really easy, subtle fix to that. And it was before even introducing the Indominus, why can't you just let us, like, chill the fuck out and enjoy the park for a little while?
Yeah.
And,
like, I mean, there's literally, like, what, 2 minutes maybe where they show you what the park looks like?
And, like, it's also, like, very superficial. Like, one of my favorite things in Jurassic Park is that scene where they go and they pet the sick Triceratops, because that's like one, and also, the Brachiosaurus scene
at
the
very
beginning.
And they completely repeat that note here.
It was like a scene where, like, the characters are touching a dinosaur for the first time, and you're watching them do that, and, like, you could feel the fact that they've never, like, this thing has been dead for so long, and, like, these are the first people who get to do it, and it's like, holy shit, this is happening. And this movie didn't have one of those moments. It's just like, let's slap all this here, and it is.
I get your point. It didn't have that moment in that there's not a moment where we really get to experience the wonder of seeing a dinosaur for the first time, but they do actually repeat that beat where they're like, here's two of our characters finding a sick dinosaur. And I was just like, really? Like, that's what kept driving me so crazy. Like, I feel like there was a story they could have told about this. Like, maybe if they had focused on, instead of the Indominus Rex, which, like, they make fun of the name in the movie, but it's still a stupid name. Making fun of it doesn't make it better. But, like, they introduced that huge, horrifying sea creature monster in the trailers. And I thought, like, that could have been an interesting thread. Like, what if, like, taking a cue from Jaws 3, what if, like, they had knocked out a window and people were, like, trapped in, like, sublevels of Jurassic Park and this thing is around? Like, that could have been interesting. Or what if that got loose in the ocean? Or I'm spitballing. But the idea was, like, we didn't have to have the exact same plot of Jurassic Park, but just then loaded in with all these other characters that I think were really just mostly being set up for sequel stuff. Because the military stuff feels sequel. Like, that all feels like we're telegraphing another movie.
Oh, I hope not. That'd be so disappointing.
It's the worst plot line.
That's the worst part of this movie. Should we maybe jump into spoilers so we can dig into
that? Yeah, let's do that.
And the ending of the movie a little bit. All right, let's jump into spoilers a little bit now so we can talk about this whole military subplot and the ending of the movie a little bit. So the military thing. Here's what happens. So for some, this is another character flaw, but Chris Pratt's character, Owen, for some reason, he was an ex-Navy guy who is now the park's animal behavior expert for a reason we
don't
really
know.
Which,
like, at some point they ask him about other animal things, and he's like, I was in the Navy, I'm not an animal trainer. I was like, but you train raptors. Like, why are we pretending any of this makes sense?
Well, that's what he's busy doing, is he's training the raptors, and there's, I think there's four of them in the movie, and at the beginning of the movie, we see him basically get them to beg him for food, and then he, like, makes them follow, like, his hand, and they obey a stay command, and Vincent D'Onofrio's
character... But why
is he,
like, 20 feet above them? He's nowhere near them.
Well, but then I guess what was the tipping point for Vincent D'Onofrio's character was when he goes in there to save that guy, and he's like, stay, and they stay. But anyway, he is a military guy who kind of works for InGen.
The key thing is basically he thinks we can militarize raptors and use them in place of drone warfare, which is just insane. Like,
well, does he specifically say drone warfare? I think he just wants to say
he says specifically
save lives on the battlefield.
He
too.
Says drones can't get into tunnels. Drones can't do this and that. And then Chris Pratt says, but if you don't feed a drone, it's not going to turn around and eat you.
Which is kind of like maybe a nod to the Pirates of the Caribbean line.
Probably. I mean, like, the thing is, it's like, as Perry pointed out when we were walking back from the screening, she said, like, it's not even like the raptors are trained to the point of, like, docile dogs or something. So it just feels completely insane to imagine that you could train them to, like, work in this way. So then when there's finally a scene where they have to try it, because of course they have to try it because we brought it up, and it's like bringing a gun into the first act of a movie, it's gonna come up in the third. There's no hope for you thinking this is going to work. And that's what I'm talking about with the idea that Trevorrow is making these leaps in logic that, like, he cannot sell. Like, he doesn't have the bravado for it.
The saddest part is I think that part would have been so easy to pull out, you know? Just feature Chris Pratt trying to train the raptors and, like, just do good by them. And then in the end, when everything goes to shit, just have, like, it be his decision to put what he's been working on out into the field and be like, fuck, we have no other options. Like, let's give it a shot,
that
boys,
would have been
come
more...
on.
And that's what I'm saying. I think the military angle is purely sequel, because at some point they have BD Wong run off with those things.
Oh,
and it's
my,
like,
God. What they
that's
did
all
to
it
his
is.
Character made me very, very sad.
It's all just setting up a sequel, which is so frustrating, because you could have been like, well, I don't know. That could have been an after credit scene. We wouldn't have had to deal with any of that boring shit.
I want to talk about something that's other than... So even assuming that, you know, you are able to make the leap of logic with Trevorrow, which Christy clearly couldn't, but I think other people to varying degrees have or haven't, I just thought that the finale... So the finale, it ends with just this, dino on dino action. It's huge. It goes on for... I don't know how long it actually goes on for. It feels like it goes on for 40 minutes. I don't think it's actually that
it's
long.
It's probably like 15.
Yeah,
I don't know the exact number, but
it's like a giant spectacle of just, like, you know, one dinosaur attacking another dinosaur, and then another dinosaur comes in, and it's crazy and it's over the top. And in my mind, it was boring as shit, because I feel like I really hate continually only comparing this to Jurassic Park, because, you know, it's a movie on its own merits and we should judge it as such. And I do think that compared to other big summer blockbusters, like, say, Avengers Age of Ultron, it's more, like, on par than, like, subpar, I would say. But that ending with the big CG on CG dino action, it was one of those
There's no stakes
because it's, first of all, it's all dinosaurs. Second of all, I just couldn't get over the fact that, like, this is all CG, because one of the things that the first Jurassic Park did really well was make the dinosaurs feel fucking real, make you kind of, like, bask in, like, how amazing and glorious and crazy this is. In this, it just, like, the whole time I was watching, I was just like, there's some ones and zeros crashing into other ones and zeros, and I just couldn't get invested in it, and as a result, I was bored.
I appreciated the end, but not because I cared about the four main human characters and if they survived, but Blue the Raptor really grew on me, and I found it very satisfying the way that they, you know, put one dino against the next. Because, like, you know, in Jurassic Park, the reason the humans are saved is because the raptors and the T-Rex fight. So I think that actually is, like, a nice, like, oddly
but
heartwarming,
like,
nod to the original,
literally
to see
that same
the
beat
T-Rex
again in this one.
To see the team... To see the T-Rex tear with the raptors and beat the Indominus. And, like, they built up the Mosasaurus so much throughout the movie, I was kind of happy to see, you know, him sneak out of the tank and
I was
drag
also
it
annoyed
in.
That like the that sea monster creature was also involved in what I thought was the meanest scene in this whole movie, which is that assistant getting killed. And like it was a we've talked about it was a weird thing because like in the first Jurassic Park, there are definitely deaths where you're like, that person sucked. I'm glad they died, being the lawyer who like runs into the bathroom and doesn't help the kids. But like that's not her, because she's supposed to help the kids, and she tries to. She's telling them to run, but then she gets picked up by a pterodactyl, dropped into the tank, and as soon as she hits water, I thought, oh, God. And then they pick her up again, and they keep picking her up and dropping her, and
they
then
basically
she
waterboard her.
Yeah, and then she gets eaten by the sea monster, and I was like, that was upsetting. Like, that wasn't fun. She had been established enough that it didn't feel too distant to just be like, that's cool. But she wasn't established as a bad person, so I was just really disturbed. I really was shocked at, like, everybody keeps asking me, does this have more dino action than Jurassic Park? And yeah, and if that's all you want, then I guess this will be satisfying. But if you want a good story and adventure, which is what I predominantly want out of a movie that's following in Jurassic Park's legacy, this fails hard.
I don't want to say it's the worst. It's not a total loss. Like, as if you're a big fan of the original like me, there's a lot of fun to be had with the idea of actually seeing a fully operational park. And I did like some of what they did with the raptors, just as characters. Like, I found that Blue the Raptor actually, you know, conveyed more emotion than his big star human counterparts. And I kind of liked what they did. And the fucking dinosaur actually
had an arc. We didn't even talk about the acting. That's how this movie impacted us, that we didn't even mention the acting.
But
it's there.
It is incredibly disappointing because I think one of the biggest problems with this movie is it just doesn't have, like, the heart and the texture and the character development of the original. And it's, like, part of the reason you could buy that, you know, someone recreated dinosaurs and put them in a freaking theme park is because there's all these people that believe in it so much. And here it's almost like they're like, too smug about it. And that was a little upsetting. But, you know, if you're a big fan of Jurassic Park, you obviously have to see it. And you know, don't be totally bummed. There's some fun to be had with it, but it's not a good movie.
And Angie, your final thoughts? I think Perry and I have given ours.
It's fine. I don't know. Like, if you want to see it, go see it. But it's a movie that I can't wholeheartedly recommend, but it's also not a movie I feel like actively discouraging people from. So, you know, make it that what you will.
Alrighty. So that is I feel like it's a waste. Hold on to your butts. And then I've been completely blocking my little prop.
No,
I'm not as good.
Not.
I'm not as good as props as Christy. But anyway, that's it for episode 70 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You can find us all over the place on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Popcorn Prosecco. If you could go and rate and comment on iTunes, that would be fantastic. We have a website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco, and go like us on Facebook as well. And all three of us are all over the internet as well. Christy, you want to take it first?
Yeah, you can find me writing all over the web, but I collect my highlights at decadentcriminals.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Christy Puchko.
Angie?
I am on Twitter at AJHAN, and you can find my writing at slashfilm.com.
And you can find me on Twitter at PNemiroff, and my writing is all over collider.com. So, that's it for this week. We will see you next time.
Rawr!
There
it
you
always
go.
Has to be something, doesn't it?
And remember, something chases you,